to interpret the 144,000 as symbolic of the complete church of Jesus Christ that will be in heaven. And when you do that, and I know that for some it might be a new way of looking at it, but when you do that, it becomes the key that unlocks so many parts of this book. Because there are a great many things in the book of Revelation that needs to be interpreted symbolically.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and we're continuing our series in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, The Security of the Saints. And we're looking at these 144,000. Not everything in the Bible can be interpreted absolutely literally. When the Lord Jesus said, "I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved," he did not mean that he was a literal and physical door with hinges and a lock made of wood. No, he meant that he was that entranceway. He was the way into heaven. Or when Jesus said, "I am the vine and ye are the branches," he did not mean that he was literally a vine growing in a garden out of the soil, but that he was that life-giving agent who gives life to every member within the church, the Lord of the Lord Jesus. And so these are symbolic, figurative terms. And when we come to the book of Revelation, we do get some of those too. We're going now to the reading of Revelation chapter 7.
Our Bible reading is Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. We are going to read this chapter through. It's not too long. But boy, is it ever packed with good stuff. And may the Lord help us to learn of these things tonight. Revelation 7. "And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, 'Hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads.' And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephthalim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zabulon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongue, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb.' And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, 'Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Amen. May the Lord bless this reading of his word. Remember, there is a special blessing for reading the book of Revelation, and we want to claim that this evening. Now note some of the details about these 144,000. They are made up, as we read through, 12 tribes, 12,000 each. But strangely, two tribes are missing, the tribe of Dan and the tribe of Ephraim. Joseph is included, Benjamin's included. There's something ajar here. And yet, every one of these tribes are said to have exactly 12,000 people each, which equals 144,000. Now that presents us with a need to understand and comprehend this. Many make this 144,000 literal. That means they are exact numbers, one for one. Numerical value, one for one. And that means, as the Jehovah's Witnesses do, they say that there's 144,000 select Jehovah's Witnesses. They are elite, and they time that from Pentecost to the year 1935. And I confess, I haven't been able to fully figure out why 1935. I know that somewhere around that date there was a prediction that the Lord would return in that year. And so they say that that 144,000 is made up of all the believers from Pentecost to 1935. Now, if you subtract 1935, subtract 33 AD, that's 1902 years. Divide that into 144,000, and you get a total of 75 converts per year. That doesn't sit well. There were only 75 in every year for all of that period of time. Now, if we say, well, we don't want to be JWs, we don't want to be Jehovah's Witnesses, we don't want to follow their methods of interpretation, there are many who say, well, then these are Jews, and this is referring to Jewish converts. Now, if you do that, the math is going to be somewhat different, because you're going to be working from the date of Abraham right through to the present day, which is about 3,500 years. You divide that into the 144,000, well, your numbers get really low. And again, that creates, well, tension, ambiguity. Could that possibly be right? And this is a great problem that creates more questions than answers when you start going down that road, taking the 144,000 absolutely literally. Now, what about the Gentiles? Some would say that when you get down to verse 9, That is referring then to the Gentiles. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude. But then we have another problem. If you allow that, and we might allow that. You know, there are Jews and Gentiles. That distinguish mark is made throughout much of the Bible. If we allow that this is Jews and the rest are Gentiles, that means we have now two churches, two separate groups, 144,000 as opposed to the rest being Gentiles. There's one special group, and then there is the remaining. An elitist group, well, that is really contrary to the whole tenor of the gospel. Everything I read of the gospel, from the New Testament right through to this book of Revelation, there is not two churches, there's one. Paul the Apostle labored extremely hard in his letter in Ephesians to point out that there is now no difference between Jew and Gentile, that we are all one. We are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Circumcision is that of the heart, not of the flesh. And the Bible over and over again speaks of that. I want to read, get you to read with me a few verses in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And the verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So we're speaking here of people who are in the Lord. They're redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Their faith is in the Son of God. Then it goes on to say, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abram's seed and heirs according to the promise. And surely the Bible tells us that we are justified exactly the same way as Abraham was justified. Read Romans 3, Romans 4. The whole argument of the apostle in those chapters is about it. We are all children of Abraham by faith. And so do you see the problem of the tendency to create something that might be different from the whole tenor of Bible doctrine and the redemption of the church? And then, of course, you're quite aware, I'm sure, of the many who make outlandish speculative ideas of the 144,000 because they take it literally. The JWs apply it to them. The Mormons apply it to them. Early Seventh-day Adventists applied it to them, especially writers like Ellen G. White and so on. I'm not sure if present-day Seventh-day Adventist teachers do that. They may have gotten away from that. I don't think they're all united on it. But would you like it if we said, but Free Presbyterians are the 144,000? We are that unique select people because we have the truth and we are the people of God. No, that would be very presumptuous. And so there is no select sect or church that is unique or set apart. Now, no doubt, God has a purpose for the Jews. We will never deny that. And they historically are the covenant people and have many assets and heritages that no doubt has been a great special blessing to them. And God's purpose for the Jewish people, we read Romans 11, that he can graft them in again. There can be a revival among the Jews. They can be brought in again. But in Romans 11, it is one olive tree. Whether you're cut out, grafted in, whether you are removed again and brought in again, no matter how you look at it, in Romans 11, there is only one olive tree. There's only one church, Jew and Gentile, male and female, rich and poor. The gospel for Abraham is the gospel for Paul. The gospel for Paul is for Peter. The gospel for Philemon, the rich master, is the same gospel for Onesimus, his slave. There's one church, one people of God, one way to heaven. Therefore, when we come to Revelation 7 and look at this number, 144,000, we must understand this, that it is symbolic. It's not a numerical number, but it is a symbolic number. There are many, many things in the Bible that we do not take literally. And Wednesday evening at our prayer meeting, we were looking at a passage in Mark 9, and it talks about cutting off the hand, cutting off the foot, plucking out the eye. Now, I don't see Gentiles nor Jews doing that. And with some rare exceptions, no one in the history of the church takes that literally. Then there are the I am statements of the Lord Jesus. Jesus says, I am the door. Well, he is not with hinges and locks and so on. He's not literally a door. That's a figure of speech. And he's not a vine. Although he said, I am the vine, he is not a growing tree in a garden. But it means his role is like the vine. There's a similarity there. And so we have to understand in the Bible there are many things that we do not take absolutely literally. Nor do we interpret every single detail with a particular function. You take the parable of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan that was going down to Jericho came across this victim who was injured. He had already been bypassed by the priest and the Levite. Now, you would not interpret that event that the priest represents religious schemes which fail, the Levite represents the law which failed, the Samaritan is Christ who does good, the oil is the Holy Spirit that was poured in, the wine is the blood of Jesus, or the beast or the donkey is an angel to bear us along, and the inn is the church, and the two pennies are the sacraments. To insist that in such parables that every single item is literally representative of something is flawed. And so when we come to this 144,000, we would be doing a disservice and creating more problems in our understanding of these things by taking this word absolutely literally. For example, you don't take 666 as referring to 666 things or 666 antichrists. No, it's a symbolic number. And so it must be admitted here that this 144,000 can be taken as a symbol. It's a symbol of a vast number, an indefinite number of people. Unknown to us, but known to the Lord, of course. He knows who they are. And in this verse 9, you'll see that this vision to John, it opens up further. It says that he was able to see a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues that stood before the throne and before the Lamb. Now, I also want to point out that the blessings that are to the 12 tribes that are mentioned here and the innumerable number that is mentioned in verse 9, it's all the same blessing to each and every one. They are the same people with the same promises, the same blessings that are given unto them. Now, when we get over to chapter 14, you read more about these 144,000 that are sealed. You get some more detail. And it tells us, and I looked, And lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000. Now that greatly helps us. If you have your eye on the end of verse 3 in Revelation 14, the fact that only the 144,000 could learn the song, and that song is the song of the redeemed, and we know that the redeemed is made up of every people and tongue and nation. That 144,000 is symbolic of all the church that will ever be washed in the blood of Christ and sing in the glories of heaven. They sing a new song. Now, I could go on a little further with some arguments for the symbolic nature of this title. I think I have pointed out the problems that we would run into if we take it as literal. It creates confusion. It undoes so much of what we learn in the rest of the Bible, that there is one church, one gospel, one faith, and you have the covenant of grace, which is inclusive of all the redeemed, all the elect of God in one church that will one day be brought to heaven. And so it is wise and it is sound to interpret the 144,000 as symbolic of the complete church of Jesus Christ that will be in heaven. And when you do that, and I know that for some it might be a new way of looking at it, but when you do that, it becomes the key that unlocks so many parts of this book. Because there are a great many things in the book of Revelation that needs to be interpreted symbolically. For example, let's go down in chapter 14 to verse 4. It goes on to talk about these 144,000, these redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. Now try, with all your might, try taking that literally. Try taking that these are all males and they're all single. And you may end up agreeing with a Roman Catholic writer who says that's referring to Roman Catholic priests who hold to the vow of celibacy. And we'll put a question mark at that one. If you take that literally, or if you don't take that literally, and you refuse to take the 144,000 literally, it's confusion. So let's be consistent. And in Bible interpretation, that ought to be our goal. We ought to be consistent. We ought to seek to reconcile certain passages of the Scripture so that they teach the same thing. And until we see that, we need to keep studying the truth of God. And so for all these strong reasons that we find in the Bible, we conclude that this 144,000 is a symbolic number and represents all the elect of God, all the redeemed that will one day be brought into heaven. Because there are not two peoples of God, there are not two churches, there are not two heavens, and there's no special categories in heaven. And therefore, this news that came to John, that the angel of death could not touch the earth nor hurt the 144,000, it applies to every child, every professing Christian, and every one of the redeemed is sealed and sealed to the day of redemption. Now, that is good news. That is fantastic news. That everyone who has come to Christ is marked The angel will not touch. We are protected, guaranteed. We will be delivered one day safely right into heaven. And so Romans 8:28 can be written over every one of us today. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. And that applies to us today, tomorrow, and even the day that Christ returns. Even the tribulations that might intervene in the period before the Lord returns, all things will work together for good to the people of God. And so we have the worth of the seal, we have the wideness of this sealing, of those that are sealed, every single believer in the Lord Jesus. And then in verse 9, you have the welcome for the sealed. And I'm going to stop here tonight. The welcome for the sealed. They're before the throne and before the Lamb. What will it be when we get there? When we enter into that new Jerusalem and we see the Lord, the Lamb. By the way, you can't take the word lamb literally. When I enter heaven, I'm not going to see a woolly sheep. I'm going to see my Savior in a human body. The body that he took, that he was given by the Holy Ghost in Mary's womb, that was prepared for him by God, the body in which he was crucified and which he rose again from the dead. I will see that body. I will not worship a sheep. I will worship my Savior. The Lamb refers to him as the sacrifice. Just as when John pointed to Jesus in the flesh and said to the people, "Behold the Lamb of God." That was again a symbolic term. And so when you understand the use of symbols and use them wisely and carefully, it will help you to understand so many things here in God's Word. And so I leave it there tonight, and may the Lord cause you to rejoice in the week to come that you are sealed unto the day of redemption.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.